recording this time. Okay. Let's say the serenity prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Bless this study, Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you for an anointing. Help our ears be open so that the word of God can come forth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight's study is called Balance. And I'll start out with the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord. You know, what a beautiful reality that the scriptures give us, that we're in the household of God, and that God gives us a table, just like any household has a table, right? Now, those of us that have ever been to a smorgasbord, which includes all of us, right? You know what a smorgasbord is. You pay, you can eat as much as you want, and there's usually a great variety of food, right? Now, some might come in and the first thing they go to is the salad bar. There's no right way or there's no wrong way. You don't have to start out with the meat or the fish or the chicken, right? You go to this place because you are there to feed yourself. It's the same situation in the gospel. Every one of us, David, and Chris, Michelle, we all have to feed ourselves, and all of us are in different places. We have to be careful that we don't judge each other. That doesn't mean that we don't need a variety of what God offers us. But at different times in our lives, we're going to need different things, right? Tonight's study, dealing with balance. Now, most people are going to come in and they're going to get a salad, and then they're going to get their main course, and then they're going to slowly but surely get a dessert. You know, and if they like certain things, they'll go back. But it's all up to the person. What if a person at this particular time, they're sort of like staying away from meat. Well, they're going to go toward the fish. It's just like that in our walk with God. Some people are in real need of praise. They're in a state of mind where proposition and hearing a study and the having to open up their intellect and sitting there and really having to concentrate, they might be frazzled already. It's difficult for them. They need an uplifting. They need a dessert. They need a blessing. Somebody else may be a million miles away from that. They don't want to go to a service that's just got a 45-minute song service and a 2-minute sermon. They're more in the mood for getting what they would consider to be strong meat. They want to hear something that's logical, propositional. It has a lot of scripture to it. It isn't a matter of right or wrong. It's preferential. It's up to you to feed yourself, right? It's up to you to get a balanced diet spiritually in your existence. As you go in your walk with God, there's going to be different times and seasons. And Michelle, you can get us over to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to read the first 8 verses there. But before we do that, I'll continue to get this concept here down, you know. You don't know what David is going through. You know, what if David's got surgery coming up? What if he hasn't told anybody that he's got problems right now? What if Chris hasn't told us, but that he's got real trouble with his job and he's got angst going on, right? He needs to hear maybe something more like, hey, you know, Chris, you're my son. I'm going to take care of you. I don't want you to fret and allow your mind to get into a state where you're going to really, really go through a ton of self-doubt and you're going to go through fear. What if somebody else has just had their parents die in a car accident? They're Christian. They love Christ. They love God. But the last thing they want to do is go to a hallelujah, whooping it up song service. They're not in that kind of a state of mind. They're looking for a certain amount of comfort, but they're very tearful. They're quiet. They're reticent. They're meditative, right? They don't want to be around a hoopla. Now, somebody else may be completely involved in that song service and they're just getting so much out of it. You can't judge somebody who is in a more of a joy spirit than somebody who is in a sorrow spirit. Sorrow is a season. Joy is a season. Are you there, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay, let's read the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter.
How many verses do you want me to read? Sorry, the first
8. The first 8.
8, okay. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace.
Look at all the times God mentions there are. And look at the words that he actually uses. And a season for every activity under the heavens. You may be in a spiritual season completely different than your husband, your wife, your friends, the people that are right next to you in your closest proximity in life. You're just in a different season. It's just like that smorgasbord. You need to eat and take in the Word of God and what God has for you according to your own individuality and not cop out on yourself. Sometimes you almost have to set boundaries and go, hey, well, no, whoa, Jack. You know, you're trying to tell me how to run my show here and I'm walking with God the best I can. You don't know what I'm going through. Lay back, right? You ever feel that? You ever feel somebody sort of pressuring you spiritually a little? And the reality is, they don't really know where you're at. They're not really in your skin. You might be in a different season than them. So what I want to deal with tonight here is this Christian balance, how that God Almighty is going to give us all kinds of seasons. Just like we have different vegetables, we have different fruits, we have different days. Some days are sunny, some days are cloudy, right? Sometime we go through a great season where you get 6, 7, 8 days in a row of nothing but beautiful blue sky and you're in a state of joy. And then the next thing you know, it's raining, it's storming, it's hard. Things are on you. You have pressure. A lot of times it's not your fault. It's not your attitude. It's life on life's terms that you're having to go through. And you don't want to just get to a point, or I don't want to get to a point where I'm seeing demons that aren't there or angels that aren't there. We're in a real life. There are days that I wake up and I got a sniffle and I got a cold and life goes on. There are nights that I just have not slept well. I don't want to project it spiritually and go, oh yeah, I didn't sleep good last. The devil was right in the room. I want to be careful that I don't blame everything on the cosmos. And when some things are just the course of life. That's that discerning of spirit that Chris prayed about here a few weeks back. He mentioned it. He said that we can discern, you know, when it's time for me to talk to somebody concerning a problem I'm having. When it's time for me to maybe get some counseling concerning something I'm going through. The reality of what I'm going through is too tough for me. I need to talk to somebody. And if it isn't a formal counseling, like somebody in an office, an organization, it can just be a friend. What did the old school do when they didn't have AA or they didn't have Al-Anon? They had people that were wise within their life that they could trust and say, I got to take a little time. Sometimes it's just a simple thing as a walk. So this is what I'm trying to deal with tonight. Now, one of the things that we have to do in our walk with God that I think is absolutely essential is have certain aspects of our walk with God that are different. And one of these is nature. A relationship with nature and awe. Keeping your excitement over God's love alive. The church to the Ephesians, when Christ wrote to the angel and John translated it, put it for all of the world to see in Revelation, there 2:3, when the letters were written, it said to the Ephesians, I have something against you. And one of the things is you lost your first love. You've lost your awe for God. God has become too technical. He's become the bureaucrat that runs the stars. He's become the one that's logical and makes the universe work, right? But some of that awe and wonder has been lost. We're supposed to love the Lord thy God, not just acknowledge and love him. It's up to us to have a relationship. And one of the best ways you're ever going to have a relationship is a relationship with nature. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I'll have you go to Michelle. I'll have you go to, for Chris, you go there. Psalm 65, verses 5 through 13. I'll read another one in Job 12:7 through 9. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? I remember when I was young in high school, and I'm taking biology, and I'm getting all my evolution classes and all this, and I'm being really exposed to a lot of secular thought. And my mom was sitting in that kitchen over there one day, and I said, do you believe in God? And my mother didn't have an insincere bone in her body, right? And she looked at me like, of course. She said, look outside, look at the little bird. And I looked out there, and there was like a bluebird on this tree that she loved out there. And it was like, well, who made that? You know? And it was just, you got a point there, you know? So what happens sometimes is that we can be looking for all this proposition, and sometimes we're, I want to know more about the, you know, every little thing in the tabernacle plan, every little pole, and I want to know every little aspect of something in the Old Testament. I'm really into the intellectual as far as understanding types and shadows. And the reality is that maybe we better get out on a camping trip. Maybe it's our time to sit by a lake. Maybe it's our time to get some of the awe and the wonder of nature. And our schedule doesn't do it. And you know, we're after this abundant life in Christ, right? We're after having a daily walk with God. We're after dedicating ourselves so that on a daily basis, we have a relationship with Christ. And sometimes we can almost get a little left side, right side brain stuff going where it's just a bit too technical, right? So my mom was right. These birds are there in these scriptures. You can read Psalms 65, 5 through 13 for us, Chris.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the people. Those who live in the earth's furthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateway of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain. For so you have prepared it. You water the furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening with its showers, and blessing its growth. You crown your year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
They shout and sing together with joy. Have you ever been in a meadow of wildflowers and heard them shouting for joy? There are scriptures all through the book of Psalms. Remember, King David was a shepherd. He's seen those starry nights. He led the sheep. He's the one that wrote the 23rd Psalm, you know. By still waters, in green pastures, he keeps his sheep, right? And here, he brings out poetry that's so unique. That's what's so unique also about scripture. You've got heavy numbers and books of history where you're dealing with how many Israel had in the tribe of Judah and how many it had in Issachar and how many it had in Simeon and how many were, men that could handle swords. And you get into all these scriptures with all these various Hebrew names that are so hard to read. You get into Daniel's 70th week in a timeline that's just incredible and mystical. You get into eschatology and things that are to come as far as prophecy is concerned. But you also get into amazing amounts of poetry. And here David, he sits here and he tells us the pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. When is the last time you had a relationship with Christ in nature, where the wind was a song to you, where the stars looked and tingled with awe, where there's a sense of you're not just out on a walk and it's a park, but you're looking at the universe like David was, right? Looking at it and going, oh my Lord, the hills are shouting, the fields are clapping. You know, I'm praising God and I'm seeing his awe and his wonder. And that when I see the purple wildflowers and the new green of spring, and I see the budding of the lilacs, and here comes the new flowers, I'm relating it in my walk with God. That I'm really being filled with a sense of Christ's love. Not just that he went to Calvary. Yeah, he went to Calvary. But he also created the moon. He also created the stars. He lets that moon shine. I seen a dawn on Lake Superior. I went all the way up to see it, right on the Canadian border, up there in Grand Portage. I found a beautiful place to see it. And it was like I seen my first dawn. It was just so glorious the way it came up. And it looked like that a little bit of the clouds above the sun were crowning it like a crown, like a king. It was just so poetic. And I felt the chills and the tingles of the spirit. I knew that my God was letting me see his beauty and his word. That the word of God is living and it's vivacious.
Hallelujah.
And it's full of love and encouragement. And there are times that we don't take advantage of it. The wonder of a fire, sitting and warming yourself at a fire and hearing wood talking in the night. You know how good that is for the human soul, for the human mind? But what really is good, and that's what's great about going to a camp, a Christian camp or a situation like that, is that you're taught that, yes, the Lord's in the forest, and the Lord's in the wind, and the Lord's in the flowers, and you're emphasizing a time of commitment to Christ where you can hone in and go, yeah, the spring is so renewing. But it isn't just a natural experience. You're relating the natural and the spiritual. You ever have that? That sense of awe and wonder and mysticism that comes with Christ? That's very personal. It comes into the realm of your own interpretation. David had it. The book of Psalms, I encourage anybody to get a hold of the book of Psalms. And Michelle, I'm going to get you to give us over to Psalms 104, verses 14 and 21. I'm going to read a couple of New Testament scriptures that sort of correspond with this, okay? Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. Matthew 6:26 through 29. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe now how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor they do spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. The Lord says it in Matthew 6, 26 through 29. His first word in that scripture, look, look, look. And then later on, he says, see, see. Open your eyes. There's a time to really take some meditative healing time for yourself. This is part of your Christian balance. Don't just take a walk. Don't just go up north, right, in Minnesota to go look at, put it together in Christ, because the Bible does. And this is what I got last night. I was going to teach on something completely. I was planning on teaching on Old Testament connections with the New Testament to show certain things on how Christ, when he came, he was always coming to Jerusalem for a reason, fulfilling a feast day, etc. And I started to pray, and the Spirit just started coming into my heart, and I knew, I said, oh man, we got to be careful that our Christianity doesn't get too technical. Sometimes you want to pray outside. Sometimes you want to take time for yourself. Don't be afraid to go down and look at a sunset again. Let the wonder that God has connect with you. Never lose your awe. It's part of your balance. Serving God. Remember when Jesus told Martha? She had the better part. Martha, Martha. Her sister Mary was before her feet. You know, Martha was busy serving God, getting everything prepared, and Mary was right before him. And she said, Mary's got the better part. Well, there's times that your renewal, it isn't even just within a sanctuary. It's in your daily walk in Christ. And that you need to be closer to pets. You need to be closer to animals that God made. You need to be closer to his creation. Psalms 107, 23, 24. Listen to this. This is how powerful the scripture is. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You ever been on a ship? You ever been out on a great lake? You ever felt the ebb and the flow of the ocean and have to look on deck at a starry night? Right? The Bible says that even these people that go down, that have a business in the sea and the great waters, see the wonders of the Lord. You know, God isn't just in a church. He isn't just in a building. He isn't just in reading the scriptures. The scriptures are alive. They're full of love. The scriptures, the word of God, is one that the one that framed the very heavens. And God's love wants to come through cats and dogs and songs of birds and wind and trees and flowers and lilacs. He's trying to come at us and give us his love in so many different ways. You want to read your scripture there, Michelle?
You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, and the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them, the birds that built their nests, the stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are for refuge for
the conies.
Conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and its night when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. And when the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to the labor until the evening.
Isn't that something? David's talking about the mountains. He's talking about the goats. He's talking about lions. He's talking about the moon. He's a shepherd. He's out there and he's going, whoa, look at this. Look at the beauty. Did David observe nature? Did he have a relationship with nature? David was also a psalmist, right? He wrote the Psalms. He was a poet, but he also played before King Saul, the Bible says, right? You always hear the story about David and his harp. So he also was artistic. So all these beautiful things are there in the book of Psalms. There's so much mention of animals, and there's so much mention of nature and fields, green pasture and still waters and rivers and mountains and seas. There's all these different things that God wants us to have a relationship with. In Western society, we get really, really busy. We get busy making money. We get busy with our goals. And a lot of times, the healing qualities that God has for us in simplicity get bypassed. And we get disbalanced. And we get anxious. And that's why I read those in Matthew. He says, God knows what you need. He says, don't take a thought even for tomorrow. God is taking care of you. Your last name is Jesus. You've been baptized in his name. You're part of his family. You're part of his children. He wants you happy. Let's all say that. God wants me happy. He wants you fulfilled. Even when he prunes the plant, it's to make the plant grow better, right? He's always trying. He's not holding your sin against you. You've got the brazen altar. But you need to take some time for love and living and renewal. And a lot of times we just need to connect things so that nature isn't just there. You know, mustard man wants to tear it apart, rip it apart. And it's full of, okay, it's genes and it's zygotes and it's, you know, neurons and science, and we get to a point sometimes where the beauty of it and the joy of it and the wonder of it and the awe of it doesn't connect. And the Bible connects those dots. You do not have a walk with God in a vacuum. Your walk with God is amidst the very creation that he made. And when we get too wound up like a clock, we don't allow ourselves to have some of that rest and some of that joy and some of that love that he wants. It's good for people to have dogs and cats. It's good for people to hear songbirds. It's good for people to have a breeze and a window open. It's good for people to take some time and a bit of a vacation where they put their mind away from everything else and they renew themselves in the love of God. The love of God is not just on a Sunday morning church service or a Sunday night Bible study. The love of God is shining through. Just like Psalm said when I started there in 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And another place, David said, day by day uttereth speech. Every day, the Spirit of God is talking. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the Native Americans had more contact than Western Christians do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, even before they would eat something, they would pray and say a prayer, and they would sacrifice it, knowing that it was life leaving in order to make other life go on. There was a connection that land was not just meant to devour for money, to make money. That land for its own good, for its own beauty, was supposed to be there, right? We as Christians want to have that perspective. We want wetlands. Isn't it wonderful to hear a duck quack? Isn't it wonderful to go by a river and hear the birds coming in for spring? Isn't it wonderful to see new flowers to watch in your area where something new is budding and coming back to life? Isn't it really a miracle? Yes, you know, we want to be careful that we don't get too caught up. We want to have this balanced life. Okay. Now I want to get over to you can go over to the book of Philippians, Chris, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read another scripture here out of the book of Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. It's not going to be a long time here. I'm only going to go about 3 or 4 more minutes, David, and you can go to work, you know, go rest. But this is going to renew you, too. If you listen to this study tonight, I'm feeling the Spirit tonight. Not every Bible study is supposed to be a technical study. There are studies that just have to get us to love one another and love ourselves. The Bible says this in Mark 12, 30 through 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. To love God, to have an emotional relationship with him, not just a cognitive relationship. If Christ sometimes ever gets aloof to you, theologically, propositionally, ontologically, philosophically, if Christ ever becomes aloof to you, start looking at flowers. Start hearing robins. Start thinking of those blue, beautiful robin's eggs. Start seeing things and explaining things to your own children, you know, in a simple way. Isn't that a wonderful tree that God made? Because you can't get away from the reality of the simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of Christ is where you're going to keep the kisses and hugs between our Savior and his bride. The bride of Christ needs to know that God loves us. And you're never going to know the love of God without a deeper, deeper relationship with everyday life. You know, it's good for a person when they're lonely or hurting to put a cat in their arms and give it a hug. Why? Because you can say to your soul, God made this cat. God made that dog. God made those birds chirping out there. Keep it simple. Whenever it gets too highfalutin and you're wondering and you've got any kind of theological, philosophical, existential angst, keep it simple. Bring yourself down to earth. A beautiful spring day when the lilacs are out and you get that sense of perfume. But better than any perfume, you can go to any perfumery in the world. But when you get a beautiful sense of nature, an earthiness of nature, it's a fantastic experience. I feel so sorry for people who go out there in the middle of this universe and look out at stars on a starry night and can't give God glory. There ain't a time, almost in the summertime, that I don't walk out every night before I go to bed sometime and look out to see what planets are out, or what's in the heliacal rise, or if I can see Venus or the North Star. And almost 9 out of 10 times, guess what goes up? My hands. And I go, thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me. Even Immanuel Kant said, when he wrote the categorical imperative, and he went against a lot of the morals of Bible and the things based on theology, said there are still two things that astound me. One, he said, is a starry night, and the other is the moral law within me. Never lose your love for Jesus Christ by not seeing the simplicity of everyday life. Okay, we got two scriptures and we're done. Philippians 4:5 and Philippians 4:8. You want to read 4:5, and I'll let Michelle read 4:8, and then we're out of here. Chris?
Yep.
4:5.
All right. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near.
And mine goes, and most versions go, let your moderation be known to all men. And that's what this is. This is a moderation between theology and between everyday life, where Christ is existing in nature and in our existence. Okay, Philippians 4:8.
Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Good, and I'll read my version here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. What a scripture the Apostle Paul gave us here in Philippians 4:8. Flowers, nature, praise, thanksgiving for trees. When I go walk down by the river, Bernie used to laugh at me because there's these big, huge basswood trees. I was there not yesterday, the day before. I almost always go up to this great big one and I give it a hug. You ever hear the term tree hugger? I'm a tree hugger. And I always say the same prayer. I almost go, God, give me some of the simplicity that's in this tree, some of the strength, some of the beauty, some of the unpretentiousness that's in this kind of a beautiful piece of nature. And even the bark touches me, and I just get a love. You ever get a love from nature where you know that it's there? It's not just a rock. It's not just a thing, but it's real. And it's coming across to you, and it's giving out beautiful vibes, as the old hippies would say, and I'm one of them, right? That's what a scripture like this tells me, that what's ever beautiful, what's ever right, what's ever pure, what's ever lovely, think on these things. That means that our walk with God gives us such an appreciation, whether it's an old antique, whether it's a table made well, whether it's a house that looks beautiful, whether it's a piece of art that was taken and made into something wonderful, right? Whatever is lovely, whatever is good. In other words, let's have a really nice, big, broad walk with God. And let's have this relationship where we get to love one another, get to know one another. And I had to get this off of my chest tonight. It's important that we have a walk with nature, that we heal, that we keep our walk with Christ very simple, that it isn't just petitional prayer, that we're into the realm of praise, and not just praise, but whatever is lovely. When we think, we can be away and we're not really praying, but we can still be very admirable. I like the beauty of a nice piece of guitar wood. I love the what man can take and how it can actually give tones out, right? Different people have different aspects of appreciation that they have. Those things are not wrong. They're essential. Your Christian walk has got to have a balance to it, and it needs a lot of emotional, simple, beautiful, everyday things that should never be separated from your theology. Should be well integrated. Whose Father?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.